You don't have good rhythms, good Sabbath rest in your life. So we wanted to look at that, and we did do that through the divine rhythm part. And then Pastor Dustin 2 weeks ago started us off in this issue of divine healing, talking about sin and guilt and shame. Thing I've noticed in, you know, my ministry years is 30 some years of ministry, is that it used to be about guilt in people's life. People had guilt. They knew they were guilty of something. And something shifted in the last 30 years where the issue of guilt is not as big, but it should be, because there are certain things that we are guilty of, even though God wants to forgive us of that. What I've noticed in the last number of years of ministry is that people aren't carrying necessarily the guilt, but they are, but they just don't realize it. They're carrying it in the area of shame. There's things that they're ashamed of in their life. There's things that are shameful in their life. And we want to bring healing from that. Last week, we talked about hurts, habits, and hang-ups, the things that cause us to stumble, and the fact that we want to get beyond those things. And today, we're going to talk about regret. And we'll get into that in just a moment. But I want to just tell you that as you know, we prepare for next week, as we've been talking about it, we're going to have this time of prayer next week. And we pray all the time, and we pray for you all the time. But we're going to leave an extended period of time for you to come and to respond in action and prayer, however you need to, over those things that God is asking you to deal with, whether it be a hurt, a habit, a hang-up, guilt or shame, sin in your life, whether it's the fact that you just haven't made space for him in your life. We're going to provide an opportunity for you to come and find healing in all those things. We will pray for physical healing. We will pray for emotional healing. We will pray for spiritual healing. We will pray for relational healing. And I'm looking forward to it, not because I want to have to do this, but because we get to do this. And I encourage you to be preparing your heart just to say, what is it that you're holding back? And every one of us has something. None of us are perfect in this. None of us have let it all go. And if you think you've let it all go, I would tell you to go home and take an account of your heart this week, because God's going to reveal something to you that you need to let go. Now, we are going to talk about regret, and John put this up. John said, there's a slide in here. It's just got a phone number. Is it supposed to be in there? I said, yeah. And I told him what it was about, and then when Don left, I said, actually, it's in case anybody has complaints about my sermon, that's Don's cell phone number. You can text him. But it's not. Many of you know Don's cell phone number, but if you have a complaint, text Don. A few years back, we talked about fear. And I asked at the beginning of the sermon that if you have a fear in your life, something you're afraid of, could you text me and let me know what it is? And at the end of the service, I shared what some of those were, and it was a very vulnerable moment for many people. I'm going to ask today that you take this number down and write it down, that you destroy it as soon as the service is over, so you don't bug me all week. No, I'm just kidding. But if you have a regret in your life that you would like just to confess of, and just text me. Now, here's what I'm not going to read your name. I'll read the text at the end if I have some. I'll read them beforehand to make sure they're appropriate. But I want you to be vulnerable just to say, because part of the healing process is just saying, I have this regret. When I did the fear one, I was amazed at what came in. I think there were about 27 texts before the service was out. And I should open my phone here and start to see it buzz, but I'll check it later. I think I have the sound turned down. Yes, we do. You might hear it rattle off the thing, though. But if you have something and you'd be willing just to be somewhat vulnerable, like I said, I'm not going to say your name. But what I found out last time is when we talked about fears is I spent a lot of time that next week or two following up on some of these. Because some of them are pretty heavy. And I remember texting people back saying, would you like to talk about this? And I had a number of appointments that came out of that that I think were very productive. So if you have a regret and you'd like to just, you know, be so vulnerable to share it, you know, like I said, no names, don't be specific enough that we can figure out who you are. But I think it's good for us to realize that we're not alone in our regrets. We're not alone in our fears. So let's just see if that works. If nothing happens, then we'll get home earlier. So I'll save a few minutes at the end for that. We'll leave that up there for just a few minutes as we begin to talk about this idea of regrets. They are one of the most common things in life, one of the most connecting things to us is that we all have regrets in our life. Some of our regrets are small. They may seem big to you, but they're pretty small. Maybe that regret over that donut you ate that you shouldn't have, Topher. I've been seeing pictures all over the internet of you eating donuts everywhere. Well, you look good, but keep eating those donuts. Apple fritters are his weakness, right? So, and he knows where all the good ones are. It may be just something you shouldn't have eaten that you shouldn't have. This morning, I almost had one of those regret moments. There was a tractor trailer parked out here in the parking lot, and that makes me angry sometimes when people park things and we can't park where we're supposed to. And I took down the number of it and everything. I was going to call the company and say, could you please remove it? And I sat in my office. I said, you know what? I always regret doing these things because I always feel like an idiot afterwards. Because I'm supposed to represent the love and acceptance of Christ. And here I am, the grumpy pastor saying, get your truck out of my parking lot. And I said, I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to pray that it's gone. And I prayed and I walked back to the other end and it was gone. Now, I don't have magic powers. I think he just came and got his truck and left. But I'm glad I don't regret calling about this truck and being an idiot when the guy was going to move it anyway. So there are these type of things. There's some of them are seem small, but they can be big as they bother us. I heard of the story of a man by the name of Greg Nemo. And Greg Nemo was a mechanic, aircraft mechanic, who worked for Wycliffe Bible Translators. And Greg was working on a plane one day, and somebody walked by, and as he was finger tightening a bolt, somebody came by and talked to him, and he turned to talk to them, and he forgot to tighten the bolt down. May not seem like a big thing to forget, except when that plane was up in the air, that bolt allowed gas to leak or fuel to leak out of the plane, catch the plane on fire, and it crashed with seven people on board. Killed all seven of the men on board. Greg Nemo went to the funeral of all seven of those men and looked at those seven new widows, knowing that his mistake caused that to happen. Can you imagine carrying that kind of guilt in your life? And some of you may have things similar to that, something in your life that was tragic that you feel like you're responsible for. Well, as consistent as they are in our life, we really don't know how to handle regrets in our life. We don't know what to do with them. There's a website called secretregrets.com. Anybody ever gone on that? Anybody ever heard of it? It was put together by some people who said people just need to let go of their regrets. They need to confess of their regrets. And the people just list their regrets on there, and then they have a regret of the day. I don't know who gets to pick this. But they put it on their website. You can go on there today. You can see it. Don't go right now. Secretregrets.com. And I went on it last week, and I tell you, it's sad. One lady says, I regret marrying my husband 3 days ago. I should have walked away from it. I knew I should have, and I didn't. One of the ones that broke my heart was a gentleman who said, I regret not taking my life 20 years ago. And if I would have, I would have bypassed all this trouble I've been through in the last 20 years. I would have made life better for me and for everybody else. I have to tell you, I sat and cried when I read that. And there's somebody being vulnerable on this website to say, I regret not taking my life 20 years ago. Now, thankfully, there's more on there that said, I regret thinking about taking my life 20 years ago. But this was a very realistic moment for this person to say, I should have just done it. Should have just done it. It's very easy for us to go back and relive the things that we regret, to let them play in our mind over and over, and it is one of Satan's greatest ploys and tools against us, is to remind us of the things that we regret the most. Those things that we just can't let go, those things that bother us and just consume us, and you know, God wants to let go of these things. He wants to get us to let go of these things so he can take care of them for us, and yet we hold on to them. And Satan, just the moment when you think, you know what, God's getting the upper hand in my life and I'm giving my life to him and I'm trusting in him, Satan comes in and goes, but remember that thing you did. Remember that thing you didn't do. And let's just spend some time there for a while. Well, I want us to be able to move beyond that. The Bible speaks of regret and not having a regret. And the Bible speaks of many things to do with sin and guilt and shame. And I just want to read you some of those scriptures just very quickly this morning. And then we want to talk a little bit about this idea of regret and how to let it go. One that we'll come back to at the end is 1 John 1:9. And I think it's so important for us to hear. It is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you have not received that passage and that gift of that passage in your life, I want to encourage you to think about it. Read that again. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some unrighteousness, that unrighteousness. No, all unrighteousness. All the things that we've done that we regret, all the things that we wish we wouldn't have done, God can forgive us of all those things. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." The enemy is out there. He's ready to just plomp on us, jump on us, just pounce from behind the bush. And the way I believe he does it in so many of our lives is in that area of regret. And if I could say, you know what, one thing that comes up continuously as people come and meet with me, as I talk to people and as I share with people, is this idea of something they've done in their past, something that was done to them, something they wish they would have done, and they regret. Psalm 34, verses 4 and 5 say, "I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed." I love that. Their face is radiant. I mean, they are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. We carry shame. We carry this guilt. We carry this regret. We need to let go of it. 2 Corinthians 7:10. "For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death." You want to hold on to it? There's death in that. There's just, your life will not be what it's supposed to be. But if you are grieving in a godly fashion and you bring it before God, you will live without regret because of the salvation that it will bring in your life. 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." Paul saying, "You know what, I don't regret how I've lived, and I fought the hard fight." Proverbs 15:3, "A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is crushed." When you allow the things that you regret in your life to reign, your heart is crushed in that. King David, Psalm 51:8 and 9 says this, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities." Many of you know that Psalm 51 is that psalm so beautiful. We know the song, "Create in me a clean heart." Comes right after that verse 9. Verse 10 says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." And this is David, who, this is, any VeggieTales fans in the room? King George and the Ducky. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's the story of David and Bathsheba. It's this king who has so many wonderful things, and he's got this one guy who's got this one beautiful wife, and he sees this wife and he lusts after her, and he goes and he gets her. And to cover up the sin that he feels for getting her, he now has her husband killed. And Nathan the prophet, I love this, comes to him and says, "Let me tell you a story about a king. He's got all these lambs, all these ewes. He's got a whole flock. There's this one little poor man. He's got one little ewe lamb. And the king takes it, kills him, so he can take it." And David, what's his response? Is, "He ought to die. He ought to die. This is terrible." And Nathan looks at him and goes, "You're that guy." And then it hits him. Psalm 51 is penned after that. "Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Against you and you alone do I sin. Create in me a clean heart that I will not be removed from you." Just clean it up. And I love it. And he says, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. You are the God, you who are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness." He says, "You know what, just forgive me and I'm going to tell people about how wonderful you are." He doesn't want to live with the regret of his life, and he brings it before God. And this is the most hopeful thing for any of us. Because how does God refer to David? Believe it or not, we have a hard time believing this. "A man after my own heart." If this guy can be a man after God's own heart, according to God, what's holding us back? What keeps us from having that same forgiveness? What keeps us from walking without regret? We need to let those things go. We need to come and say, "Wash me clean. Totally clean." Not just a little clean, not just a big smudge on the outside, but everything deep down. Cleanse me from that. Wash me clean. Create in me a new heart that knows you and follows you and seeks after you. That's what we got to do here. So if God can take care of the regret that David had, I believe that most whatever you're carrying, he can forgive and he can wash clean and he can create a new heart through. There's another guy by the name of Peter. You ever hear that guy? Leader in the early church. Mouthpiece for a long time when that wasn't really a good thing for him to be doing. As Jesus walked on earth, Peter was always the first guy to answer whatever question Jesus asked, and he usually put his foot in his mouth, perfect size, whatever his foot size was. In Luke 20, 61 to 62, this is what it says, "And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times.' And he went out and wept bitterly." Jesus predicted the betrayal of Peter, that he would deny him. And Peter says, "Nope, not me, never, ever, ever, ever." And he did. And then in that moment, he looks and he remembers what is said and he regrets what he did. And yet, if you continue on in the New Testament towards the end of John and Luke, you know that Jesus restored Peter. He denied him three times. He gave him three chances to renew himself. And he says, "On you I will build my church. Go and do it. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs." And Peter took that call of Christ earlier in his life to build the church. And he took it on and he did it. He was restored in all things. The Bible teaches us that when we confess our sins and have faith in Christ's sacrifice and resurrection, we become children of God. We are cleansed from all of our unrighteousness and our salvation is eternally secure. As we grow spiritually by spending time with God daily in prayer and reading his word, we find ourselves loving and trusting him more. We trust that God has cast our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. And how wonderful is that? As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's tossed our sins. Yes, we regret our past mistakes, but that is not where our focus is. We focus on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, not on our regrets. Paul in Philippians 3, 13 and 14 put it this way, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of the goal, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Paul says, "I don't look back. I don't regret. I don't worry. I don't hunker down and wallow in those things. I look forward to the goal that God has put before me. And that goal is in Christ Jesus." Shame and regret and guilt and sin, all that stuff's behind us. But if we've accepted Christ's gift, before us is the hope of our new salvation. It's the hope of what God can do in us. Romans 8:1 says it very well, that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are sinners, but we are justified. We have a shameful past, but we have a better future. We used to walk in foolishness and rebellion, but now we walk in newness of life. Now, how many of us don't live that way? How many of us don't live with a preferred and better future because we're looking at the cruddy and terrible past? I want us to look forward. Part of the prayer time next week is just we can let that stuff go. Don't wait till next week. If you can get rid of it today, get rid of it today. If you can get rid of it right now, just pray silently. Grab a friend. Go out of the room if you need to. Deal with it. But if you haven't dealt with it next week, we'll give you an opportunity to do that. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is I no longer live." I'm sorry, I can't read. "And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." It's the life I live now is not me. I'm prone to sin and guilt and shame. The life that is in me, if I'm following Christ, is the light in the light and life of Christ in me. So how do we deal with the regret? What does regret look like in our life? And I've mentioned it already, but there's three main types of regret. One is regret of action. Things that you've done, lies that you've told, relationships that you've messed up. I remember hearing the story, and I shared this before years ago. I think Charlie Riggins was a man who used to teach for the Billy Graham Association, used to teach evangelism courses. I remember sitting under Charlie's teaching one day when he began to confess that he had broken a relationship with his son 20 years previous because of the length of his son's hair. That as a good Christian man, he could not get over his son in the early 70s having long hair, and told him to cut it. And his son said no, and he left the house, and he had not spoken to his son in 20 years. And he sat and he wept in front of a group of about 500 pastors and leaders and said, if I could have to do over again, I could care less about the length of his hair, because I want him in my life. We regret actions of labels that we have applied to people, bad choices that we've made, rage that we have unleashed onto people, money that we have blown, and addictions that we have fed, along with many other things. So there are the regrets of action. There's regret of inaction as well. Opportunities missed, time wasted, risks not taken, love not expressed, words not spoken, gifts not given, forgiveness withheld. And all those things can eat us away as well. So there are the sins of commission, the things that we commit, and there are the sins of omission, the things that we did not do. And anybody here can relate to some of that? Opportunities missed? I can. Time wasted? I can. The risk not taken? I can. Love left unexpressed? I can. Words not spoken? Me. Gifts not given? Me. Forgiveness withheld? Me. The interesting part is that the sins or the regrets of action, the things that we do are usually short-lived. They can't have a long-term impact in our life, but they're usually pretty short. The regrets of inaction are often long-term. They're the ones that stay with us forever because we wish we would have done something. John Greenleaf Whittier, the poet, 19th century poet, in a poem called Maud Muller, story of a farmer girl meeting a judge on a road and interest in each other, and yet they never do anything about it, and they have regrets. At the end of the poem, it says, of all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, it might have been. And many of us regret things we wish we would have done. Doors that God opened for you and you didn't walk through. Relationships that could have been restored and you didn't take the opportunity to do it. Then there's a third category. It's the category of reaction. Regret of reaction. How we've responded to things that have been done to us. Abuse that's been done to us. Neglect. Rejection, betrayal, mistreatment, accidents that have happened, illnesses that have happened, isolation that has been thrust upon us. And while you're not guilty of a sin in these things, sometimes how we respond to these things can become sin in our life. Sometimes we assume a responsibility that is not ours. We stew in hate, shame, or blame. We don't deserve because of the situation that happened to us. We stew in our bitterness and we resent the person that's done this to us and we are angry. Now, I want to be real here, folks. This is one that I can't come and just speak to your heart on because I don't know what you're carrying in that realm. But I'll tell you right now, if you've been abused, if you've been neglected, if you've been rejected, betrayed, mistreated, if you've been isolated, I'm sorry. I am sorry. And there's a huge aspect of these things that I just can't even get my hands around for you. And I in no way want to minimize those things in your life because they are huge. And I'm not saying you'll ever forget those things altogether. I'm not saying you'll just let them go. I'm not saying that you should just never think about it. But at the same time, I think you should ask for God to allow him to allow you to respond in a way that is honoring to you and to him. So I am not trying to minimize what you've been through. I have a few of those little things in my life that are big. And there's things that I regret in my life because of what was done to me as a child in my home, through my family and through choices that they made. And I regret for too much of my life I allowed myself to be angry or upset or to hold a bitterness instead of allowing myself to forgive and to just embrace even those that have hurt me. It's a great book out right now by Dave and John Ferguson, pastors in Chicago. They're two brothers. They have a book called Starting Over, Your Life Beyond Regrets. And if you have some regrets in your life you just can't get rid of, I encourage you to grab this book. And some of the stuff I'm talking about is from that book. And one of the things they talk about is don't regret your regrets. Learn from them, embrace them, even the tough ones. Because they can teach us a lot about ourselves and about the God who loves us. Now, there's a certain reality that we have to say, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. We have to be careful not to walk into relationships and things where we will be hurt. But where we have been hurt, God can allow even that regret to be turned around for the good of him and his kingdom and for us and our lives. And I want to encourage you to pursue God in that. And once again, I hate talking on this because it makes it sound like I'm just brushing it off as something that's easy to fix. And it's not. Many of you that if you've been through these things, you may need a lot of counseling. You may need a lot of help. You may need somebody to walk alongside you through this process because it's not easily resolved. Soren Kierkegaard, the Danish philosopher, said, life can only be understood backwards, but can only be lived forward. And sometimes we have to let go of the stuff in the back so we can move forward. And I want to encourage us to do that. So I just want to give you a few ideas that come up in Ferguson's book here about breaking out of regret. And they give you three steps to breaking out of regret. And one is recognizing our regrets for what they are. Just recognize them for what they are. The second thing is to release our regrets so that they no longer hold us back. And the third is that we must trust God to redeem our regrets. So what does it mean to recognize our regrets for what they are? One thing is they talk about in the book is to not dwell on your regrets. To stop thinking about the thing that you can't stop thinking about. Don't dwell on it. Don't give it more time than it's due. And we've talked about this with sin in our past here as a church. You know, we talked about the sin, and Keith always reminds me about the sermon I did about I carried the garbage can around and looked at the sin. And all I remember that message is that I took a bite of apple, and this apple was supposed to represent the sin. And I didn't know if I should swallow it or what while I was preaching, so I preached the rest of the sermon carrying the garbage can around with this chunk of apple in my cheek. But the whole point was that sometimes when you sin, you focus on the sin, and all you do is focus on the sin, and what it does is it gives the sin way more due than it's due. Instead of saying sin is sin, I put it down, I repent of it, I turn back to Christ, and I walk away from it. And sometimes with our regret, we need to do the same thing. To work on it, to look on it, to focus on it all the time gives it way more time than it deserves. Turn and walk away from it. Turn back to Christ and seek the healing that he can bring. Second step in recognizing our regrets is to not hide from your regrets. Don't deny them. Don't get distracted from them. Don't suppress them, but deal with them. Don't hide from it. Denial is to say, well, it's not my fault, it's their fault. I sinned because they made me. Distraction is anything that will numb the pain of our life. Drugs, alcohol, bad relationships, another bad relationship. Suppression is that idea that I'll deal with it later. I'll deal with it later. I'll deal with it later. And never dealing with it. So don't dwell on it. Don't hide from your regrets. But do face your regrets head on. Embrace the truth of what happened. Take from it what you can. Grow where you can. And all those things will help you recognize the regrets in your life and to deal with them. Next step, release our regrets so that they no longer hold us back. Whether it's a sin that you committed, the fact that you've hurt someone else, that a mistake that you made, whether you regret being hurt by someone else that you've allowed to hurt you, or whether you didn't allow it but they hurt you, do you regret the pain you feel in life's circumstances? In all those things, they would encourage you in the book, and I think this is a great encouragement, to exercise the release muscle. You know, it takes muscle to hold something, it takes muscle to release something. We're really good at this muscle. We're not so good at this muscle, letting things go. And we just need to let it go sometimes. We just need to open it up and say, you know what? I can't control it. I can't change it. I can't make it better. I can't change the past, but I'm going to let it go. And the encouragement they have in the book is to forgive somebody, to seek forgiveness of God, or to forgive yourself. And our regrets have something to do with all those. Sometimes we need to forgive what somebody else has done to us. Sometimes we need to go to God and say, please forgive me for what I've done. And sometimes, I think this is just as hard, if not harder, for everybody, is to say, I forgive myself. It's easy sometimes to think, yeah, God forgave me. I've asked for forgiveness of them, and they say they forgive me. Whether they do or not, that's their issue. But I think the one that's hardest for us at times is to forgive ourselves and to say, it's okay that I allowed that to happen. We have to let it go. In the book, they talk about having a conversation, writing a letter, or praying. And I think wherever possible, face-to-face confrontation, face-to-face forgiveness is the best. Sometimes you just can't draw up the courage to do that. So write a letter and say, you know what, I'm sorry I did this. Or I'm sorry I allowed you to do this to me. So if you can't do it face-to-face, maybe writing it out. And you know what, sometimes the best written out releasing of regrets in our life are the ones that we never send. But we need to write it and walk through that healing process. Sometimes you know that it won't be received well. You know that the person who's going to receive it won't take it to heart. But at least if you write it out, you'll feel better. Then tuck it away, burn it, do whatever. I'd say don't hold on to it, get rid of it. But the third part is just pray. Lord, allow me to be forgiven by you. Lord, allow me to forgive that person. Lord, allow me to forgive myself. And then the third step here, after you recognize it and release it, is to redeem your regrets through trust in God. And this is one that's hard too. We can be redeemed. We can be recycled through our pain. We can build ourselves in Christ through all the bad stuff that we regret, that we did, didn't do, or had done to us. But there are many faces of redemption, and these things look like this. It helps us to find our way back to God. Through the pain and regret of our lives, we turn and can and hopefully do turn to God and seek his help. Even through the pain of life, there is spiritual growth. Through those moments in the valley, you grow deeper with Christ and you grow in him. This idea that we talked about with the discipleship, following Christ, being transformed by him, and then being on mission with him. Sometimes the face of redemption is rescheduling the things that we want to see happen or should have happened or shouldn't have happened. It's in God's hands and God's timing, and we have to reschedule our expectations of when it will be dealt with. Sometimes we need to redirect our lives towards something more positive and productive out of the regret that we have. Sometimes, even in a regret, there are blessings that we did not expect. There are blessings that God wants to give us even through our hurts that we would never expect. One last one here is the chance to bless others. Those who have been hurt sometimes are the best people to help other people. Now, I encourage you, if you have hurt in your life, don't think just because you have hurt in your life, you're ready to be a counselor. Bad call. But once you've found healing and walked with God through it, then you can turn around and say, you know what, I'll help you through this as well. Because every one of you has a hurt that you've been healed from that somebody else is going through. Be careful with this one. Because I'm not just giving you a free license to all go out and counsel and be, you know, go out and do it to mess up. No, you'll mess up people if you do it wrong. But when God has brought healing into your life, God will allow that healing in your life to be a healing to other people. Regret can be a pain. It's not easy. It's not a fun part of our life. Look at what David and Peter went through. And yet God used that in their life to make them better. They were in misery and anguish, and yet God brought them out of that. Jesus' death on the cross for us is amazing. It covers all of our sin that leads us to the regret that we have. Gives us a chance to restore and be redeemed and renewed, to be used for his kingdom's sake. And I read you, come back to what we read at the beginning. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you have regrets, give them to God in prayer. If you haven't repented of your sin yet, I encourage you to do that quickly. Get that part out in the open. Just get it out there and say, God, I've sinned and I haven't asked for your forgiveness. Get that out there. The things that you regret, say, God, I'm sorry. Please take it away. Allow me to forgive myself. Allow me to forgive other people. God will bless your life and make you worthy of the calling that he's placed on your life. So you don't have to wait till next week. I hope you don't if you need to let something go. I hope you can let it go. Maybe next week you just come and say, you know what, last week I did this. 2 weeks ago I did this. 3 weeks ago I did this. And I just want to come and kneel at the altar just to say, God, it's yours. I hope you can do that next week with us. But as you come, I hope you come allowing those regrets in your life to be let go of. Got a few. I regret not spending more time with my grandma before she passed away. I regret love not shown to my children. I regret some of the relationship choices I made before meeting my husband. My intense anger that turns into blow-ups at work and at home. I regret letting myself get so close to someone that they could hurt me so deeply over and over again. I regret all of my past relationships. I regret not appreciating the love that God's given me. Uncountable second chances, but I still find myself... Lost it there, hold on. But I still find myself falling back to sin. Well, I just got to open it up. Hold on a minute. Falling back into sin and taking the way he works through people for me for granted. Starts with premarital sex and has continued into hardship throughout the marriage. I regret the years that I walked away from God. I have spent so much time feeling guilty for that time. And that's just a few out of this room, folks. So whatever regret that you have, probably one of those is in the same category with the regret that you have. I want us to be reminded of the fact that the price for our regret has been paid. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to make it happen. We don't have to beg for it. God has done it. He wants to give it to you. So if you are walking in regret that you have not been able to let go of, I hope you can let go of it. I hope you can seek help for it. I hope you can talk to me or Pastor Dustin or one of the cluster leaders or your friend or a ministry leader in our church or the person you're sitting next to right now, your spouse, your children, your parents, whoever. I hope you can allow healing to happen in your life through that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this chance to come and to be somewhat therapeutic as we even release our regrets and let things go that we are feel responsible for or feel like have happened to us. And Father, for my brothers and sisters in this room, I simply ask that you would work in all of our lives, that you would allow those regrets to be in our past, that you would allow us to be forgiven of them, to forgive those who've done them to us. And Lord, not first and foremost, but along with that, I hope you can allow us to forgive ourselves and to walk redeemed, renewed, refreshed in the fullness of the life that you want to give us. So Father, thank you for those who are vulnerable to share. Thank you for those who are holding on to some of these regrets in their life. And I pray that even in this moment, and as we sing this next song, as we go home, and as we just walk through this next week, that we'd be able to let those things go. So Father, we thank you that you have paid the price for our sins, that you have brought healing into our life, that you will renew even the hurts done to us through the hope that comes in you alone. So, Father, in this, we give you all of this in the name and the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.